There was a moment, one long moment, when the sudden silence of the clock not ticking any more filled the clearing like thunder. Slowly, Miss Treason sagged down onto the leaves. It took a few dreadful seconds for her brain to start working, and then Tiffany screamed at the people clustered above, "Go back, all of you, give us some air!" She knelt down as they backed hurriedly away. The smell of the raw soil was sharp in the air. At least Miss Treason seemed to have died with her eyes shut. Not everyone did. Tiffany hated having to shut them for people. It was like killing them all over again. "Miss Treason," she whispered. That was the first test. There were a lot of them, and you had to do them all. Speak to them. Raise an arm. Check the pulses, including the one behind the ear. Check for breath with a mirror. And she'd always been so nervous about getting them wrong that the first time she'd had to go out to deal with someone who looked dead, a young man who'd been in a horrible sawmill accident, she'd done every single test, even though she'd had to go and find his head. There were no mirrors in Miss Treason's cottage. In that case, she should think. "This is Miss Treason here, and I heard her wind her clock up only a few minutes ago." She smiled. "Miss Treason," she said, very close to the woman's ear, "I know you're in there." And that's when the morning, which had been sad, weird, odd, and horrible, became boffo all the way. Miss Treason smiled. "Have they gone?" she inquired. "Miss Treason," said Tiffany sternly, "that was a terrible thing to do." "I stopped my clock with my thumbnail," said Miss Treason proudly. "Couldn't disappoint them, eh? Had to give them a show." "Miss Treason," said Tiffany severely, "did you make up the story about your clock?" "Of course I did. And it's a wonderful bit of folklore, a real corker. Miss Treason and her clockwork heart. Might even become a myth if I'm lucky. They'll remember Miss Treason for thousands of years." Miss Treason closed her eyes again. "I'll certainly remember you, Miss Treason," said Tiffany. "I will really, because..." The world had gone grey and was getting greyer. And Miss Treason had gone very still. "Miss Treason?" said Tiffany, nudging her. "Miss Treason?"
"Miss Eumenides Treason, aged 111.
Tiffany heard the voice inside her head. It didn't seem to have come through her ears. And she'd heard it before, making her quite unusual. Most people hear the voice of death only once. Miss Treason stood up, without the creak of even one bone, and she looked just like Miss Treason, solid and smiling. What now lay on the dead leaves was, in this strange light, just a shadow. But a very tall, dark figure was standing beside her. It was Death himself. Tiffany had seen him before, in his own land beyond the dark door, but you didn't need to have met him before to know who he was. The scythe, the long hooded robe, and of course the bundle of hourglasses were all clues.
"Where are your manners, child?" said Miss Treason.
Tiffany looked up and said, "Good morning."
"Good morning. Tiffany Aching, aged 13, said Death in his no voice. "I see you are in good health."
"A little curtsy would be in order too," said Miss Treason.
To Death, thought Tiffany. Granny Aching wouldn't have liked that. Never bend the knee to tyrants, she would say.
"At last, Miss Eumenides Treason, we must walk together."
Death took her gently by the arm.
"Hey, wait a minute," said Tiffany. "Miss Treason is 113. I adjusted it slightly for professional reasons," said Miss Treason. 111 sounds so adolescent."
As if to hide her ghostly embarrassment, she plunged her hand into a pocket and pulled out the spirit of the ham sandwich.
"Ah, it worked," she said. "I know I... Where has the mustard gone?"
"Mustard is always tricky," said Death as they began to fade.
"No mustard? What about pickled onions?"
"Pickles of all sorts don't seem to make it. I'm sorry."
Behind them, the outline of a door appeared.
"No relishes in the next world? That's dreadful. What about chutneys?" said the vanishing Miss Treason.
"There's jam. Jam works."
"Jam? Jam? With ham?"
And they were gone. The light went back to normal. Sound came back. Time came back. Once again, the thing to do was not to think too deeply, just keep her thoughts nice and level and focused on what she had to do. Watched by the people still hovering around the clearing, Tiffany went and got some blankets, bundling them up so that when she carried them back to the grave, no one would notice that the two boffo skulls and the spiderweb making machine were tucked inside. Then, with Miss Treason and the secret of boffo safely tucked away, she filled in the grave, and at this point a couple of men ran and helped her, right until there came from under the soil, clonk, clank, clonk. The men froze. So did Tiffany, but her third thoughts cut in with, "Don't worry, remember, she stopped it. A falling stone or something must have started it going again." She relaxed and said sweetly, "That was probably just her saying goodbye." The rest of the soil got shoveled in really quickly. "And now I'm part of the boffo," Tiffany thought, as the people hurried back to their villages. "But Miss Treason worked very hard for them. She deserves to be a myth, if that's what she wants. And I'll bet that on dark nights they'll hear her." But now there was nothing but the wind in the trees. She stared at the grave. Someone should say something. Well, she was the witch after all. There wasn't much religion on the chalk or in the mountains. The Omnians came and had a prayer meeting about once a year, and sometimes a priest from the Nine-Day Wanderers or the Sea of Little Faith or the Church of Small Gods would come by on a donkey. People went to listen, if a priest sounded interesting, or went red and shouted, and they sang the songs if they had a good tune, and then they went home again. "We are small people," her father had said. "It ain't wise to come to the attention of the gods." Tiffany remembered the words he had said over the grave of Granny Aching, what seemed like a lifetime ago. On the summer turf of the downlands, with the buzzards screaming in the sky, they had seemed to be all there was to say. So she said them now. "If any ground is consecrate, this ground is. If any day is holy, it is this day." She saw a movement, and then Billy Bigchin, the Gonagal, scrambled onto the turned earth of the grave. He gave Tiffany a solemn look, and then unslung his mouse pipes and began to play. Humans could not hear the mouse pipes very well because the notes were too high, but Tiffany could feel them in her head. A Gonagal could put many things into his music, and she felt sunsets and autumns, and the mist on hills, and the smell of roses, so red they were nearly black. When he had finished, the Gonagal stood in silence for a moment, looked at Tiffany again, then vanished. Tiffany sat on a stump and cried a bit, because it needed to be done. Then she went and milked the goats, because someone had to do that too.